my buddy and one of my favorite Marines, Cal Walters, host of the Scuttlebutt Radio Network. You can hear here on FM Talk 106.5 Wednesday nights at 8 o'clock, and a guy that gets the joy of hanging out with me on the battleship when we do those shows. Cal, how are you, man?
It is great. It's great to have 5% of the Scuttlebutt Radio Network here with you today.
No, Tom's not listening. 95% of the Scuttlebutt Radio Network is right here with Cal. You know, folks, you've got to check. You got to check out the show and listen to issues that are affecting veterans as described and discussed, and hopefully solutions come up with by veterans. And it's why I pay more attention when you say something, Tom says something, my buddy Brian Knight says something, because as veterans, I think y'all's opinion when it comes to what we do overseas in engagement, and obviously what happens with our fighting men and women, y'all's opinion's more important. And when I saw you tweet yesterday this story about the American taxpayers footing the bill for continued fraud, misspending, and flagrant waste in Afghanistan, I said, let's get Cal's take on this. So, Cal, let us know. I mean, you saw this story. You reacted to it. What's your reaction?
Well, to be honest with you, Sean, I'm not terribly shocked about it. This is something that we have covered on the Scuttlebutt for years. This is, I think what's happening is now that you have the plans from President Trump to accelerate the troop drawdown to about 2,500 troops in Afghanistan, and you're not seeing a lot of results. I mean, Afghanistan is still struggling with daily attacks. So we heard about a reporter that was killed, a female reporter that was killed just recently. Their economy is in shambles. And this is after the American taxpayers have spent roughly $1 trillion in Afghanistan. That's about $3,000 per American.
Wow.
And roughly $138 billion of that has been spent on Afghan relief and reconstruction. So that's, you know, to try to prop up and do that nation building that we've heard about. But the staggering part of that is almost $20 billion of that has just been written off as waste. It has been corruption, fraud. It's basically, there's a story we covered. And I mentioned it to you, Sean, going back as far as 2013 that we brought up on the Scuttlebutt. And, of course, it's tied in with these burn pits. That's something we've talked about that has probably caused a tremendous amount of respiratory problems and other illnesses with the troops that served over there. But the government spent about $80 million on incinerators. You know, just think of it, just a big burn box. Okay. So that you would be able to burn all of this waste and do it without harming our troops. Well, at least at 9 military bases, those incinerators, they came from the contractors. They weren't built properly. You couldn't get a forklift into the opening to be able to dump the waste into the incinerator. In some places, it was going to cost $1 billion a year just to operate them. So what do? They don't use them. And that goes back 5 years. So it's no different now. It's just, you know, they figure out how to do it in bigger and better ways. Part of the story is you had a subcontractor for the DOD, Paul Daigle, up in Huntsville. And, you know, he figured out that he could bring on labor that was actually unqualified to be serving as contractors under the DOD. And so what he did when the government said, wait, you know, you can't use these contractors, he went on to the internet and just got them all diplomas from these diploma mills and put them back on the payroll. And all the while, he's making money off of this. And then there's just outright false billing. And there's no telling how many millions of dollars, that this guy has taken the American taxpayer for. It's systemic. It's really no different than what they did after Katrina and really what they've done with this pandemic. You know, we're going to throw money at the problem, and we don't necessarily care how much goes out the back door because we look like we're doing something good.
Yeah, and if you're just joining us, talking to Cal Walters from the Scuttlebutt Radio Network and a veteran and a Marine, as you look at this, is this... Well, okay. Number one, the frustration for me, and I imagine even more amplified for you, is when we don't have the money to give our veterans and give our fighting men and women what they should be receiving. Yet you're talking about incinerators that are just sitting there rusting. because we couldn't get it. I mean, this is that $640 toilet seat with the Pentagon stuff, right? I mean, this is just waste.
Well, I think it's the toilet seat on steroids.
Yeah.
You know, because at least you could take a dump in the toilet seat. You know, with the incinerators, you can't even dump. You can't dump anything in there. And I'm sorry, I don't know if you can say that during.
You did. You're a Marine. You can say that. That's expected.
But here's another great example of it. You know, $10 billion of what they put in for this recovery was in sort of this Afghan war on drugs. And here we are 10 years later, well, you know, for this report at least, 80% of the world's heroin and opium still come from Afghanistan, and they produce meth. So I guess what they really need to do in Afghanistan is make you go and get a prescription to get Sudafed from a doctor. That'll stop it. If they do that over there, that will stop all of the meth production over there. You don't need to throw in billions of dollars. Just make the doctors write prescriptions.
Yeah, Cal, looking at this, there's a couple things that stand out. Number one, out of this amount of money that has been this gone to Afghanistan, and this is an unnamed friend of mine and a veteran, a person who did two tours in Afghanistan, and said this idea of skid greasing, we'll put it that way, is pretty common. That there was a certain portion of the money that you knew was going to, you know, this power broker, this politician, this person who could organize this group or the other. I mean, it was just a cost of doing business, I guess. How do we line item that coming out of a budget?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, and I think you absolutely can budget it, because I think it's something that everyone was well aware of. It's just when you get into a situation where not only do the warlords and the tin pot dictators in Afghanistan realize that they can ask for it, but every cop on the beat and everyone who's in their military can ask for a few dollars to be able to do something. Yeah, you know, it's a problem that we face in a country where there really is no loyalty. You know, we spent, I think, $500 million to train Syrian rebels. You know, it was a force of about 50 to 75, maybe 100. And in their very first battle with ISIS, they surrendered.
Unbelievable.
That we gave them the money, and they just turned around and handed over all of their weapons, all their supplies over to ISIS.
Which is our stuff, our technology.
You want the uniforms? Which now came back to fight us. So it was just a system where we didn't really want to address some of the problems. We threw as much money as we could because it sounded good. And in the end, we're going to leave Afghanistan. It's still going to be the wild, wild west.
I want to get into that, too, with you in just a second. But I want to point out something specific from a story you tweeted yesterday from Fox, but I've read it on a couple other military sites as well, that you talked about the cops on the beat there. This ghost soldier thing. So let's put it, here's concrete. This isn't just, Cal and Sean musing over what might be happening. They said that there were people on the rolls there in Afghanistan that were soldiers that they were asking for pay for. 42,000 of them didn't really exist.
Well, yes. And this ghost soldiers, they were personnel that were listed on the books. And so they were receiving money to pay for these soldiers. Well, once there was an investigation, just a simple audit, suddenly, as you said, 42,000 Afghan troops and police officers just disappeared. And a report that was published in late August 2020 found that 50 to 70% of police positions were ghost soldiers. This was money that was coming in. Somebody somewhere in that government system was pocketing it. And if it goes even further, you know, we were supposed to be setting up this these school systems for the Afghans. And if you read some of the reports and look at some of the stories, you know, the curriculum, we were going to buy textbooks for basic education. They were going to be supported with USAID. And they went in and they found deficiencies in the books. They had blank pages, misspellings. They had books that weren't usable anymore. And they had schools themselves that had structural deficiencies that would probably make our school system look good.
Wow. Okay, let's talk about the subject here. We have, you know, there's stories right now of men who fought in Afghanistan who now have their sons fighting in Afghanistan. This is a war that is multi-generational. When is it over? And if that's being said on the drawdown, we're at 2,500. Do we leave a reaction force there? Do we ever get completely out of Afghanistan? When do we stop feeding them this cash flow? When is it over, Cal?
I don't know in terms of cash flow that we can ever pull out. It's in many ways, it's a problem that we've accepted, not necessarily created. Because when we went in and had to get the Taliban out of there, it created a power vacuum. And so the U.S. tried to go in and insert itself to fill that vacuum. Unfortunately, on the back end, we have largely failed at the nation building side of it. It's still a fractured nation. You still have the warlords largely in control, although now they've kind of made their way and become the politicians over there. And unfortunately, if we just said, look, we're done, we're going to move out, someone else would fill that vacuum, and we don't want that to happen. So it'll be interesting to see as we transition, if we transition to a new administration, exactly how that will play out, because all indications are that a Biden administration will move more into the State Department handling many of our foreign efforts versus the DOD. When ISIS basically ravaged that entire part of the world. So it'll be interesting to see, because if we decide we're going to pull back out, does that leave that vacuum where ISIS can come back in? And then we're right back where we were with basically, you know, fighting terrorists in the Middle East again.
Yes, but you're talking about, so if it's, because it's got to be something like ISIS or a group more than a nation, right? You're talking about who would come in and fill the void. I think the Russians, even back when they were Soviet Union, they learned their lesson there. I don't know that they're anxious to get in there. I don't know if the Pakistanis want to take over, maybe. But other than that, it would have to be something like an ISIS, right, or a terrorist group versus an existing nation state.
Oh, you know, I think it would be more of an ideology okay. that would come in. I don't think you would see, the Russians, they learned their lesson there. And I don't think there's any nation that necessarily wants to take it over, but certainly you have groups that would like to use their influence to be able to control certain areas and certain parts of that country to be able to bend it to their will. I mean, that's basically what the Taliban had done prior to 2001 in the 9/11 attacks. They didn't control the country, but they were able to use it as an operating base.
So you believe at some level the cash flow goes in there. Do we have a rapid reaction force in there for the rest of our lives or longer?
Well, I think at 2,500 troops, I think that is something of a rapid reaction force. Obviously, we could continue if we wanted to try to train the military, although we've seen that, you know, over the past decade, that really hasn't worked for us all that well, because The people don't necessarily have an allegiance to the country versus an allegiance to whoever's in control of their neighborhood or their region. And so it's still very factionalized when it comes to that. So I think there are still some challenges there, but I don't think we necessarily want to pull out entirely, because, again, that leaves that void. And no one wants to be the president who they can point to and say, well, it's because you pulled out, and that's why ISIS is now coming back and is able to flourish and grow in that area.
There's a lot to think about there. All right, Cal, if people have been, for years and years under a rock out there and not tuned into the Scuttlebutt Radio Network, tell them, what's your elevator when somebody says, hey, what's Scuttlebutt Radio Network about? What's your elevator talk to them?
Well, you know, Tom and I, we're two Marine veterans. We have a little bit to say, the First Amendment right to say it in the fighting spirit to be able to keep that right. And we are all about what is good for the veterans. We try not to play politics on one side or the other. And we are all about bringing veterans together to create a mutually supportive network so that we can advance the issues important to veterans, regardless of when they serve and where they serve. And hey, you know, on the way out, Sean, I want to thank you for having me on. It's always great to talk to you. I'm pretty sure, you know, that if there is anything to be found here, there's fraud and waste. I'm pretty sure Nancy Pelosi is probably going to, she's going to dig as hard as she will. You know, she's probably going to go digging, like she would go digging for Chinese influence in Congress, because she's going to go and eat in Chinatown.
This is, you know what?
So she'll get to the bottom of it, I promise.
You know, while we could talk about those who won't, we got to find and lift up those who will, because it is unacceptable, absolutely unacceptable, when we don't have the resources to give our warriors and our veterans here who come home, when we don't have the resources for them, but we line the pockets of you know, somebody half a world away who doesn't love our country. It is an absolute, it's an embarrassment, but it's an insult. Insult to y'all, it's an insult to every taxpayer out there. And I, you know, I'm going to keep hawking on it, keep crying about it, because it needs to be discussed. It gets pushed to the back of the news cycle, it gets pushed to the back page. This is real. This is 20 years in Afghanistan.
It does get pushed to the back of the news cycle, and it's only because veterans stand up and say no more. And unfortunately, too many times, too often, Sean, it's brought to the forefront of the news cycle only because a veteran has decided to kill themselves in the parking lot of a VA facility. Yep. And that suddenly then it comes back to the forefront. Everybody is all a Twitter about it. And then it gets cycled right back into the rear.
Yep, and we're not going to let that happen. I know y'all don't, and we're not on the midday show or any of our shows here on FM Talk 106.5. And quick reminder, too, if people want to get more information outside the show, they can just get, what, Facebook or go to the Twitter? What's the best way to get in touch with y'all?
Well, we've got scuttlebuttnetwork.com. We've got information there. We do have a Facebook page, Scuttlebutt Network. You can follow me on Twitter. It's at Cal_SBN. And, of course, you know, we're on Wednesday nights from 8 to 9. And then our regular shows are up via podcast on most of the major podcasting sites. And of course, you can always enjoy Tom's tirade if you like to get your blood pressure going. That's up on castbox.net. So yeah, you know, it's a little unique. Like I said, we try not to play too much in terms of politics. We just try to do what's best for the veterans and try to bring together, you know, veterans. You know, Alabama has never shied away from sending its sons and daughters into harm's way. And I think South Alabama is remarkable in the fact that it does a fantastic job in supporting those sons and daughters when they come back from serving. And we really are fortunate to live in such a unique area and a unique environment where the community supports veterans in such a tremendous way. And it's only, you know, it's really only possible with folks like yourself and the South Alabama Veterans Council and all of the resources that are out there to be able to come together to make sure that no veterans fall through the cracks.
Well, everything we can do is still not enough for what y'all have given for our country. Cal, as always, man, I appreciate our conversations, and I'll be talking to you soon.
Hey, that sounds great, Sean. Appreciate it, and have a great show.
You too. All right. There he is. Cal from Scuttlebutt Network. Of course, you can grab that podcast along with the other 53 hours of live local programming that we do right there on our website, fmtalk1065.com.